Amen. All right, Lord, we just praise you and thank you. Lord, we thank you for bringing down these human trafficking organizations and sex trafficking the kids and getting back those 200,000 kids that they've lost. And we thank you for it, Father. Not only that, exposing the people that were orchestrating those kidnaps and whatever it is. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, bless us tonight as we explore your word. And thank you, Father, for the fellowship of my brothers and sisters. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished here. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Has anybody else got a prayer request? Kayla, you got a song? There it is. There it is. Go ahead, Julie.
Hey, I didn't even raise my hand. I must have the recognized gestures. Okay, let's take that off. I would like to pray, and I know everyone's probably seeing some stuff outside in the stores and advertising for Halloween and all that kind of stuff, and even the email, or I'm sorry, YouTube's and that kind of thing about this time of year and how dangerous it is for people, and ignorance is where it's dangerous. But anyhow, Heavenly Father, thank you that you've given us your name and your authority to use your name over all the power of the enemy. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that there's no name higher than Jesus Christ, Son of God, and that we are his body. And we ask God for your grace and your mercy with the ignorant and the undiscerned about Halloween and the parties and the costuming and celebrating it in any way and what it does. We pray a hedge of protection over all of your elect and all of the precious children that want to go to parties and want to watch the movies and want to decorate and dress up and all these things. And we cover them in the blood of Jesus. We bind the works of darkness. We bind all the Satanists, the witches, the voodoo priests, the people who are involved with all the satanic worship, and every plan and scheme and device that is put in motion by words, by sacrificing, and all manner of wickedness that they've already done. We bind it and we command failure to it, that there will be no children being stolen, abducted, murdered, or any other such thing. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your mighty host of angels that are doing just that, foiling all the plans of the enemy, canceling out Halloween and all that that means. In Jesus' name, all the amusement parks that do what they do, and celebrating and inviting kids and parties and all these things. We bind all that. We speak failure into all of those things too, in the name of Jesus. The schools that celebrate it, the teachers that push it, and all these things, all of these things and what it's for. We command failure to Halloween and all that that means, Lord. In Jesus' name, we bind the works of darkness. We bind this Halloween spirit.
Yes,
In
Jesus'
Jesus'
name.
name, we thank you, Lord, that people are going to learn and they're going to wake up to the participation in this is wrong. And it's against you, Lord. It's against you. It's against, like I said, they're ignorant, Lord, and undiscerned about these things. And I thank you, Lord, that you were gracious. We were all part of that at some point. At least most of us were because we didn't know any better. And thank you, Lord, that your grace covers us and the blood of Jesus covers us. And I thank you, God, that the release of the captives, the release of the children who have been caught in one way or another in different times of the year. In Jesus' name, we praise you, God, for setting them all free, restoring them to their families or someplace where it's safe for them to be. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for protecting the children and delivering them. In Jesus' name, praise God. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
I got two prayers I'd like to add on what Julie's saying. Lord, Again, we want to come against all of these satanic and cultic gatherings that they're coming together to muster up any sort of plans or spirits to go amongst the people. Lord Father God, I just rebuke any kind of plan that they have. I just pray that they get a spirit of confusion among them, Father, that they just get scattered, and that they scatter any kind of spirits that they're trying to muster up. Lord Father God, we just rebuke any kind of words, any kind of curse, any witchcraft that they're putting upon people. Lord Father God, I rebuke any sort of household or any sort of spirits that are being targeted specifically by these people. Lord Father God, I pray a hedge of protection over every single child that they're trying to abduct, curse, or speak against. Lord Father God, we thank you so much for taking care of the innocent, because we know that you have a special place in your heart for these people that are innocent to these things. Lord Father God, we thank you so much for being sovereign and great and mighty and powerful over these dark people that want to just see that just want to see evil happen. Lord Father God, I rebuke all the demons. I rebuke all the spirits that are flowing out of these people's mouths. Praise you, Father, for divine protection. Praise you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
And I'd also like to pray so how do I explain this? With my government, it's a minority government. I'm sure that y'all know what that means. So basically, Carney doesn't have a majority of the votes, so he needs another party to back him up in order to pass anything, if that makes sense. So the Conservative Party has put forward a bill to refuse bail money for repeat offenders. So it was the three strike rule. That's what Poilievre was calling it. It was if they committed the same level of crime 3 times in a row, they lose their chance on bail, which I think is very fair, in my opinion. And the Liberal Party and the NDP Party nayed it. So they didn't allow that. So now you can be a repeat offender and get out on bail whenever the heck you want, basically. And so I'd like to pray that, Lord Father God, I just pray that. How do I pray for this? I pray that the next time a bill like this comes to the House of Commons, that there will be no corrupt government being involved with the voting, that there's going to be no smoke and mirrors involved, but that there's going to be consciousness in people's minds, that there's going to be an actual discussion about this. It's not just going to be about the political game, Father, but it's going to be about the safety of the people. Lord Father God, we hear so many testimonies of criminals that are just being let out same day on a bail bond for doing murder. And Father God, I just want to rebuke any sort of socialist idea, any kind of tyrannical government idea to destroy the people and keep the people unsafe. Lord Father God, I rebuke all the works of the communist parties and all the destruction that these people are doing in my government. Lord Father God, I just pray that the Canadian people would open their eyes and see that they just got the same guy from the last 8 years. They just got him 2.0. Lord Father God, I just pray that people stop looking at what they're looking at. I just pray that they stop looking at the lies and that they just see the common sense that sometimes it's just the common sense thing to do to just vote for what's right and what's good, not just what has face value. Thank you, Father, for taking care of my country. Thank you, Father, for bringing in people that actually want to have a good government and want to be responsible for the people and keep the people safe. And thank you for taking out the people that don't want anything to do with safety. They're more looking at their own values or the values of other of their own buddies or anything. Lord Father God, I just thank you for I just thank you for taking care of my country. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's the leftist for you. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I excuse me. Something that just popped in my mind as Ben was playing. And I literally haven't thought about it. It just popped into my mind. But if there was a way to tie the bail, tie the bail to require a high amount of bail on those, say, third offenders, and a portion of that bail money to be dedicated to the very victim that they of the crime that they perpetrated, and so that, well, I don't know the logistics, but some way of tying it back to, if they violate that bail or whatever, it the finances or the retrib or the the finances go to the victim, or the group of victims that they offended prior to that, or something like that. I don't know. I don't know how that would even work or whatever. But Lord, I don't even know if that's possible. Well, I do know it's possible. Everything is possible with you. So, Lord, I ask you to raise up a group of people, whether it be lawyers or legislators up there in Canada and even in America, to tie this bail or some way of reimbursing those that have been offended and have been victims of crimes that have happened due to the rampant crime wave unleashed by the liberal policies that constantly allow people out without any kind of responsibility. So, Lord, we'd ask that you would somehow raise up the thought, the process, the law, and the social support for such a thing to bring some sort of payment or reimbursement or however you want to actually state it back to the victims of these crimes. Also, Lord, I'd pray that you would raise up a group of people in our governing structure that would start to identify how we can make our judges and our legislators accountable for the laws and the leniency that they have allowed in this country. Again, I don't know how that would be, but I know that if there is a way to do it, that you will guide men's hearts to do exactly that, and to bring solutions and bring some sort of relief to the victims of this liberal unleashing of injustice and crime and the whole thing. Lord, we just trust you. We thank you for it. Just ask that you would give us wisdom to pray for it, and wisdom to start to bind the opposition wherever it would happen, and to support the promotion of this thing. And Lord, we thank you for it. We just praise you. I just praise you for all things are possible with you, and we praise you in your name, Jesus. Thank you very much in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Julie.
I wanted to pray also about like the leftists and the violent crimes, the domestic terrorism that's going on here, and it's in all other countries, but specifically here. But Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy and your sovereignty over everything that's happening. We take authority over Antifa and the powers that be that are funding Antifa. We command failure to it in the name of Jesus. We command the angels to help, to bring help ICE, special forces, the police, all law, all the police forces and special operations, and the cities, Lord, where the cities are not enforcing the law, we bind that in the name of Jesus, and we command all that to be done away with, Lord, that you raise up the new governments and bring down the old. We send the angels to bring down Antifa, help ICE do their job, rounding up all of these illegals and these terrorists and causing all of these distractions and the lawlessness. We bind all that. We command failure to it in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for taking away all the financial resources of the deep state powers that be that are funding all of these demonstrations and riots and that kind of thing. And we thank you, Lord, for taking away all their weapons that they won't work. I thank you, Father, for opening up the eyes of the people, Lord, to see what's really behind this, exposing all the darkness like you have been doing. It may not be coming out as fast as what we would like, but I know you're doing it and people are waking up. I pray a hedge of protection around the innocent, Lord. And I also ask, God, that your people would not. I pray, Lord, that your people would be wise not to get involved and to try to, go in there and try to be a hero or something, as well, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for bringing down all the corruption in the government, the judicial system, where they are releasing, they're not even trying some of these people who have been arrested. They're not trying them, but they're releasing them on bail and dropping into cases and all these things that seem to be going on because of the crime that's in the current, just the current offices, Lord, and all that that means, the appointed judges and police departments, and that makes, we just ask God in your power and your grace and mercy to clean all this up, to bring righteousness and justice, Lord, in the way you want it done. And we lose the angels to do this, what man cannot do that they are able to do and well able to do, to bring down this domestic terrorism, Lord. And we just pray for your grace and mercy in keeping people safe and not wanting to get in the heat of it, that you give them a wisdom that not to get involved, and stop them. If they're dead set about doing it, Lord, that you would intervene and stop them from getting involved in that and getting involved in the protests and being down there and be part of it. It's just, it's crazy, and we know it's going to happen, Lord, but thank you. And also, Lord, we just bind up all this racism and hate this out there too, Lord, and causing all this division. We still take authority over that. These spirits, these powers and principalities of faction causing division, causing the hate, the violence, stirring up all of the slander and the judgmental critical spirits that are out there, and the opinions and all this wokeness. I don't know if that's the right word, awokeness, the liberals. And I thank you, God, for sending revival. I know it's been started. I know a lot of people are on fire for you, Lord. And I thank you that you are drawing people to Jesus, that they want to get baptized, they want to give their lives to you, they want to surrender. We thank you for the work you've begun, Lord, in Jesus' name, and it will continue. And I thank you, Lord, for helping us all to be ready, and teaching us how to pray, Lord, and using your word and binding and loosing what's happening in this in the spirit realm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Ben.
Want to add on to that, Lord Father God, I just want to rebuke any idea or any ideas that these illegal immigrants have of going all the way up into my country. I just rebuke any idea that they want to do that. And Lord Father God, if there's any that's trying to come through our borders, Father, that they get caught, not to attack these people, Father, but just to remind them that what they're doing is criminal. What they're doing isn't right, and that they need to pay for the crimes that they've done. And I rebuke any sort of trafficking of drugs, any kind of trafficking at all whatsoever from happening between the borders of America and Canada. Lord Father God, I thank you so much for the reduced amount of fentanyl coming across the borders. But Lord Father God, I don't want any. Lord Father God, I would keep on rebuking these works that these mafia gangs are doing to bring drugs in and out of the borders, Father. I just rebuke all the coordination between the closed doors government, Father, that they're doing to get money out of all this, Father. And thank you, Father, for doing all this for us. And Father God, I know that there's a lot of button heads between the right wing and the left wing when it comes to this whole immigration thing. Father, I just want to pray that they don't necessarily judge the person, they don't necessarily judge the individual, because there's a lot of individuals out there that are good people that are coming into this country that want to work, they want to have a decent life. And then they get scrutinized by a lot of people because of the masses. And Lord Father God, I just pray for those people that are coming here with good intentions, that want to raise a family and not necessarily break down cultures, but they just want to live in a peaceful society and be peaceful people. Father, we want to thank you for them. And we just want you to bless them so that they don't get thrown in with the masses as well, Father. Amen. I hope I worded
Amen.
that right.
Well, I need to come in the legal way. That's the main thing. Lord, we just thank you for place
Praise
it in our
God for the
heart.
legal way.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The reason that they open the gates up and let them come in is for the deep state. Or the leftists can get votes. They buy their votes. Go ahead, Andrew.
Father God, I'd like to come at this time and that you teach us how to speak grace, Father, no matter what language we speak it in, that we know how to speak the grace to people. Father
Amen.
God, it's a family, to neighbors, to acquaintances, Father, that we would speak grace, that we would know how to speak this grace, that we would know how to confront some of the ideologies that are out there with common sense and your grace also, Father, that grace would abound and that grace would bring, if possible, also, Father, the lovely word of repentance and salvation to the people and for them to understand their souls and how their soul works and how the gospel of salvation and the new covenant, Father, just how it works for them and how it, the basics of things, Father, I pray to speak these graces to the people. Use us, Father, lead us, guide us, keep us when we would bring some grace to people for them to understand. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And
Amen.
Father, give me the words to say and My daughter might come over on the weekend of our Thanksgiving here in October 13th. And I just pray, Father, that if it be possible, that you would give me the ability to speak. And everybody's welcome to have your grace, Father. And I pray, Father, that they would see it's a very lovely understanding of salvation by grace. We have been saved, and by grace we should speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bring them in, Lord. All right, Pat.
I've seen back in my early career, I worked in the oil business in West Texas. And I mean, this is, you know, like in the 70s. And we were working on crews out going cross country, literally cross country, doing seismic work. And our crews in the field at that time were, you know, Mexican labor, people who come up from Mexico and come up here and work, and then send their money home, and they'd work for a while, and then they'd go back home. Well, I guess the point I'm making is that our country, whether it is the business community or the governmental institutions, etc., have kind of turned a blind eye to that process. And because of that, there has been a whole, I mean, a whole population of people that are in this country for generations, that came over that way. And there is, and again, I know and I understand, you know, those people broke the law, you know, but it doesn't eliminate 40 million people that are in our country or more. So the situation that we are in as a country has been growing through corruption, I'm going to say corruption, and just again turning a blind eye and taking advantage of the cheaper labor, or however you want to do it, in the business community. And I'll tell you right now, in my work right now, you cannot operate as a superintendent without Google Translate, because there are more people that speak other languages than English. And in one sense, and I'm going to take, you know, one radical look or opinion, you could, if you were able, and I'm not sure that you're even able, but if you were able to round up every illegal alien in this country right now and remove them overnight, our economy would probably crash. It simply, you know, And again, not that I am justifying it, but I'm just speaking facts. I know for a fact the construction industry would grind to a halt. Now, so my only thought, the thought, I guess the point is, we know that in the last 4 years, the deep state has financed through NGOs and all kinds of, mercy organizations and whatever, and have literally financed millions upon millions of people to flood into our country. And I think, they have deceived the politicians and that are in those places, positions of authority, to think that that they're buying votes or whatever. But I think the biggest thing is they want to crash and overburden our social resources, so to speak, and bring this thing down. I think there's a very nefarious motive behind the thing. That being said, if the present administration could not only focus on getting the criminals, and I don't mean those that came across the border that were, let's just say, that were went to these cartels and said, get me across the border and I'll pay you $20,000 of money that I make while I'm there, or however this whole process happened. But I'm talking about the criminals, the killers, the murderers, the drug organizations and all that. Focus on getting them out. But find a win-win way of working, the providing some sort of an opportunity for these people over the long haul, whatever that would mean, to start to legally blend in and come into our country. And so that they could be assimilated properly. Now, I don't even know if that's even possible or if there's even time, but I do know this. If Trump were able to come up with a equitable plan that would resolve this generations-long problem, I guarantee he would have votes for the conservative party, so to speak. And in essence, the very thing that the deep state wanted to use to destroy us will be that which God turns around and supports righteousness and brings and supports the cause of conservatism, or however you want to say it, in this country. So I don't know if, I'm sure that in some sense that kind of goes cross grain, with what maybe, the conservative wing of our parties here would think, because there is a hard line, a hard line position. No, they came across the border illegally. They're breaking the law. They need to leave. And yes, that is true. Will it happen? I think it's going to be absolutely, I think the odds of that happening in this particular climate that we're in, is very slim, if non-existent. So anyway, I just throw that out, maybe as just for fodder of thought, and maybe for prayer or whatever. Lord, I don't, again, I don't know if these things are even possible, or even if they fit in your plan right now. I do know, though, that a lot of people are hurting. I know the logistics of this thing is overwhelming, and I know the just the logistics of the process of exporting and removing these people is bad enough, but we have a whole deep state that is fighting us at every turn, wicked governors and wicked judges that are at every turn opposing the removal of bad people from this country. So, Lord, I'm just asking that you would give President Trump wisdom, grant him wisdom, and grant him wise counselors that can take time to think these processes through and take advantage of the battle that has come against us. And Lord, we ask that you would turn this battle against the deep state and take this situation and turn it around. And Lord, we trust you for being able to do so. We bind the spirits that oppose this present administration, and we bind those spirits that oppose the working of rightness and common sense and freedom and truth for each and every individual, the ability to speak forth freely without retribution. And we thank you, Lord, that you are strengthening this constitution in our country by strengthening people to understand the need for the overall welfare of all of society, if this constitution is preserved and supported and protected by our government officials. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just pray for the revival of the people of this country to rise up and support righteousness. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Julie.
Amen. Amen. Just to add on to what Pat prayed there a little bit. Just bind up all the powers and principalities over these spirits of complete lawlessness and anarchy, rebellion, and the like. There is a total lack of fear of the authorities, the authority figure. There's no fear of any accountability for their actions. And Father, we thank you for turning that around. In the name of Jesus, we speak fear into the midst of our enemies, and that they would have a fear. Those who are here illegally, we pray right now and command a fear into their midst, that they would fear to be in this country as they are, and that they will flee in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. The angels are making sure that they are escorted out of here. Thank you, Lord. And we pray hedge protection around our president, his family, his administration, those who are working with him on the alliance, special operations, and those who are on the side of justice and righteousness, Lord, to not so much, the Make America Great thing, although that's the slogan, and that's what they want to do because of the total depravement of prior administrations that brought all this wickedness in here and those who were behind it. We thank you, Lord, for making that to be according to your plan and your will, that you will fulfill these purposes. You have a plan in all of it, Lord, and I know you're exposing the darkness as you are. We thank you, Lord, for working all things after the counsel of your will and your good pleasure in President Trump and those who are working with him. We bind all the works of darkness, of confusion and witchcraft and faction and spells and different things that have been sent against them to cause them to make decisions or to speak things that are not true or accurate or to go back and forth in those kind of ways. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for turning things around. All things work together for good to those who love you, who are the called according to your purpose. And in due time, Lord, we know you're going to do something great and mighty because that's who you are. Thank you, God, for doing these things. You're the God of that can do more than we can ask or think, Lord. And we're asking you to do just that, Lord, for the sake of your name and the sake of your elect. And we praise you, God, for who you are. We praise you for what you're doing. We praise you, Lord, for your sovereignty over the wicked, the days of evil. You created the wicked for the day of evil. And I know you're judging people through this. And even though we don't fully understand all that you do, Lord, you are God, we are not. And your ways are always perfect. And your timing is always right in all that you do. So we thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers as we pray in the spirit at times because we don't know how to pray. I thank you for that gift. And I thank you for hearing our heart when we do pray and we don't really fully understand how to pray, but we try to put in our own words what we're thinking because we see things, Lord, that we have just that grieve our spirit. We don't always understand your ways, but we thank you, God, that we can trust you and keep our eyes stayed on you. Lord, help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Deep state is coming down. It's been just about defeated. Go ahead, Ben.
I just want to pray for the mainline denominational people that are doing October things, Halloween stuff. Lord, I'm not part of the community anymore, but Lord, Father God, it's hard to, you know, not see it on social media sometimes because I'm still friends with them on Facebook and whatnot. Father, I want to pray that these people that are your elect that are in these churches, I just pray that they see that even though they word it differently sometimes, even though they may say some different things and that they don't say the word Halloween, Father, that they're still putting a spirit on their children, they're putting a spirit on themselves for doing all this. Lord, Father God, there's still that spirit that's within them, and it's probably just still trying to live like the children that they used to be. But Father God, I just pray that they have a great breakthrough and that they get out of this fit that they've been going through, out of these repetitive things, these events that they try and do. They just let them just be focused on you, Father, and focused on prayer and the Bible and reading their word and getting their manna. And I just pray that they have a great revelation, Father, that what they're doing isn't right, and that the ones that can recognize it keep their kids away from it. And I rebuke any kind of, I don't even know what the spirit would be called, Father, but you know what the spirit is. And I rebuke it out of them now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray a hedge of protection over all the children that all these spirits are trying to come into them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, I listened to an ex-Satanist talking about Halloween. It's been some time ago. But he said even an innocent-looking pumpkin out there attracts demons. Anything that relates to Halloween, it attracts demons. And especially if you've got a bunch of spooks out there and all that kind of garbage. So, Lord, we just ask that you open up the minds of your people that celebrate Halloween to find out that what they're doing is putting their family at jeopardy. with these demons, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Julie.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we please forgive them for what they're doing and their ignorance, but even not just decorating their houses, but they decorate, they dress up their pets, their animals. And we just bind all that. We command failure to all of that. We put a hedge protection around all of these people, Lord, that what they do in ignorance, Lord, with these open doors into their homes and their lives, their families, and they do it, Lord, they're not knowing that they're celebrating Satanism and all that that means. And thank you, Lord, for giving us discernment and wisdom, and even knowing how and when to speak to our families who are doing these things, because they think it's cute and it's no harm and all these kinds of thoughts that they have, and because they don't see it. Lord, so I pray that you would help us to help them. If there's something that we can share with them of our own experience or knowledge, or even a video that would that they'd be able to watch and receive with an open mind. We thank you both for those opportunities, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. The other night, Debbie got a word from the Lord that I'd like to relate to you. If y'all want to hear it. Okay. Then after Julie, you got a song. Okay. She titled it, "I Am Your God of the Impossible," 10/6/2025. Listen to me, my children. I am the God of the impossible. And I say to you, my children, called to be my highly anointed ones. All things you have learned from me and heard from my servant David, things I have given him to speak and to do that have come to pass, things I have given him to speak and to do yet has not come to pass, is my doing and my plan. I make no mistakes. Believe in me. All that has come about, things that nominal and unbelieving Christians would not dare to believe, have all been my plans. Even before the beginning of time, I am your God who has chosen you and many more to hear and to receive and believe, to use you mightily in prayer and great spiritual warfare. Am I not the only God of the impossible? I am your God who does things, allows things to be and to take place, all for my purposes, for my elect and my kingdom, for my great name. Things too impossible for the unbelieving, unregenerated mind to even receive. You know, this is a war against Satan himself, our enemy, and all those that he has taken over are as he is, evil, doing evil, corrupt, and revolting deeds of darkness. But I see it all, and I reveal it all to those who I choose to reveal it to. I have chosen to reveal it to David, and I have revealed it to you through him, my servant David. You must continue to have strong belief. Do not question. Take everything directly to prayer if you have an inkling of a question. Any questioning left open in the reasoning of your mind is an open door for the enemy to answer you and to draw you away from all I have called you to be a part of, which is being my true, worthy, holy, and anointed bride and man-child on this earth, to fight with me in this mighty end-time work in setting captives free, bringing many into my eternal kingdom. Stay in the realm of belief and faith in what I am accomplishing right now. There is so much more. I know what I am doing in this end time scene. It is I who moves Trump and all he has accomplished, and things that he has not been able to accomplish has not been by mistake. Nothing is by mistake with what I am doing. Everything that I dictate to him to do or to not do is my plan. And everything I dictate to my servant David and move him to do or to not do is my plan, my voice to him. He has been faithful, allowing me to be my voice to him in so many ways. I'm not through with him yet, nor am I through with Trump and all of his and our enemies. Right now, I've laid them wide open and bare weaklings who think they are so strong. So, my children, see all things with the end in view, being a part of the end in view, which is my eternal kingdom. You all are part of this end time plan. Behold, I am making all things new. Praise God. Amen. So if you had doubts and unbeliefs, let me tell you something. I'm sitting here at firsthand knowledge of what's going on. And everything that he's told you is the truth. It comes up in the headlines the next day or that same day. So just believe. There's some strange stuff going on to our Christian background, but just know God is a all-encompassing God. He can do whatever he wants to do with whomever is a true servant of his, and it's what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing. Debbie, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that what had been on my mind, I've dealt with little things too of I think it's just the enemy wanting to throw unbelief, bring unbelief and just think things over. I really could, and I've always just casted them down and began just telling the Lord, because I know God is doing working through. I'm just telling the Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe with everything I hear. I'm just saying I believe. And I've just felt in my spirit since Monday that the Lord wanted to speak to us about to encourage us to believe and have faith in His working and everything that's going on. But I honestly did not realize He was going to bring up David. I started writing, what he first said was, I am the God of the impossible, and I say to you, children. I thought He was going to begin talking about just. Believe in me and what he was going to encourage us in. I didn't know he was going to lift up David this way. So that even made it more encouraging for me to know that he wants all of us to. He sees those little doubts that might want to creep in. We have to just cast them off. That's what I've been doing, just casting them off and praying really for a while, Lord, to keep me believing in it because he is the God of the impossible. And sometimes we don't want to believe these things that seems so impossible. It's just within us, and we have to just push that away and believe that God is using. I was thinking yesterday and praying to the Lord and saying, God, Trump is your Cyrus. That's what you have him for. So that's what he's going to do. So no matter what it looks like, it's going to be accomplished. It's what you want is going to be done. We may not see things that look quite right, but you know what that is, and you know how to fix it. You know how to do everything that has got to be done for him to fulfill his purpose. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. It just gave me
Amen.
a certainty.
Amen. How many of you know God can do anything he needs to do to get done whatever he wants done?
Yes, amen.
Amen. He can even use you, and he wants to. Praise God. Go ahead, Pat.
I need to find a scripture real quick before I say anything. I'll raise my hand a little later, okay?
Okay, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Just understand that when this thing first started, we all had doubts. Well, yes, you can see we lost a lot of people because of what transpired over the last couple of years. And that's because of doubt and unbelief. Well, I ain't never heard this before. Well, look in the Bible. It's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible, talking to the angels, talking to the Lord. How many of you talk to the Lord? None of you? Oh, okay. Better be talking to the Lord, for goodness sake. All right, go ahead, Andrew. I just thought I'd sneak that one in there.
On Sunday, David gave us a wonderful teaching Sunday, and he taught about the horses and the riders, and at the very end of the teaching, he taught us a bit of Revelation 19:11. In Revelation, and I never seen it before, but he's comparing the horse with the rider, and 19:11 says, "And I saw in the heaven open, and behold, a white horse." And he's comparing this white horse to the I guess the church, but the rider on it is the man child, and of course and he that sat thereon called faithful and true, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war, and his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are the many diadems. And he hath a name written which no one knoweth but he himself. Okay, and then in the verse, next verse, he says, and he is arrayed in a garment sprinkled with blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And we have faith that God will give us the Word by the Holy Spirit at the time when we need it too. But I was particularly looking at this horse because he was describing this horse as being the part of the church and the rider on top of it as the one who's kind of orchestrating and has leadership. And I was reading the next day, and I was reading from the book of Joel, and I found another verse for this horse thing, in Joel chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, "And I said, I am cast out from before thine eyes." Oh, wait a minute. I don't think I have the right book here. It's a little too fast. Yeah, it wasn't the right book. And the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so do they run. And the corporate body of the red horse is supposed to bring the rider, who is the elite of this warring item that's supposed to come, and then the black horse would be a famine, and the pale horse would be death. And of course, there has to be a rider, and it's a corporate body, just same way as the 144,000 are a corporate body. And the horse itself is actually part of the church, part of the woman, part of the bride. The bride might be a higher position in that, in with the rider, because we know that the bride came as the woman came out of the man. The bride is in the man too, so. Because it's an Adam and Eve thing, they were both there in the same body, and God had to separate them, and the bride's in there with this corporate body of the man child, you know. And but the horse is a good horse, you know. It's a big horse. He's described his horse there, and how this white horse and this white horse rider was being used together to come against these items that are against Christ. But I think the Lord had me going on a roll here, because before that, you know, before even Sunday, I was watching a YouTube documentary of a witness, okay? And this witness was Charlie Kirk. He was over at Cambridge University, and he was debating against a young man who came forward. And this young man must have thought he was some sort of apostle, because he was really coming against Charlie Kirk as called out, you know, and he was using Bible verses and everything. But I said, that's not right, Lord, what he's coming against him with. Charlie stood his ground against this university, probably second year student, who's only got a graduation of high school. So, he was doing very well, Charlie Kirk. But the Lord showed me that this guy is an anti-sent forth. And it's kind of anti-sent forth, you know, because he's speaking against the covenant. He's speaking against the new life in Christ. And he doesn't know what he's doing, so we have to forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. If they didn't know in Jesus's day, and he said it when he was dying on the cross to the Father, then that they don't know what they're doing now today either. And he mentioned that, you know, and even a Roman centurion heard him say that, I think. And you know, it kind of shows there that they're that these horses that are coming one after another, all four, and then the fifth seal, you get some people speaking the same way Abel spoke to God when he passed away from his brother, too, you know, that just his brother killed him, you know, like when they were kids, they probably played together and they grew up to be men, and Cain killed Abel and Abel's blood spoke to God. And here we got people underneath the altar speaking to God, you know, so, but we speak to God now, because we are raised with him and made to be seated with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So we are not earthbound. We're not earthly. We're heavenbound. We're in the heavens, you know. We're speaking up there with Jesus, you know. And I admit, you know, I sound like a little child sometimes, because I don't really know that all that much, but he's advancing us in this realm of perfection, and which is maturity. And I just wanted to reiterate that after the meeting, I got Joel 2:4 that explained it a little bit more on the horse thing, you know, and I collated that. Yeah, there's the white horse and its rider, but then there's the other horses, you know. And you know, and it says it right there in 1911, you know, that it was an interesting subject, you know. And and anyways, the Lord was showing me some similar items there where people don't know what they're doing, and they just kind of come against the Lord. You know, the English people shouldn't be speaking like that, you know. I mean, you guys who are American have an ancestry from them, and they have had the Word of God with them for over 1,000 years, you know. And they were one of the first places that had the Bible translated into their own language, too, with John Wycliffe. I realize he was a Catholic, but... you know, that's what the Lord did with him at that time. And across the English Channel, there was that guy by the name of Bernard. And he got a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge about God's love. In the 1300s, right before they went out to mix with all the different people in 1492 with Christopher Columbus and stuff, and they mixed all the iron and clay together. Anyway, so we're just seeing the last fruition of it, and with these horse riders, there has to be that white horse correction first for his church, and then what's supposed to happen, Anyway, I just hope that this would help a person. I'm just trying to figure things out myself, try to make it as simple as possible to understand. I want to break it down so a five-year-old can understand. And if you imitate and you play kind of like imagination, you can say, oh, you're part of the horse, son. You're part of the white horse, and there's a rider on that white horse, and children tend to respect elders, and we too have to respect the man-child ministry and the restoration of sent for in the fivefold ministry. But let it be known that there's an anti side of this fivefold ministry too, and they really think that they have boldness, those people who speak to the other side. They have that verse in Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith, but they got it on the dark side, you see, and we have it on the side of light. So I don't know if that helps people, It's this, that there are these corporate bodies, they really do exist, and it sort of opened a lot my eyes up to all these other horses, and the white horse of chapter 1911 and its rider is there in 6:1 and 2 of Revelation, as well as in 19. And so praise and glory to God.
Amen. Well, thank you, Andrew. That was good. Go ahead, Pat.
So I agree with Andrew. It is good every once in a while. Well, it's good all the time to draw back and get a little deeper perspective, I guess. We tend to, obviously, we're all human beings. Human beings, we live under 100 years, and then we're, heaven, or unfortunately hell for some. And so we tend to focus in on this lifetime that we have here. And everything is kind of from, a lot of our perspective is from that context of, in my case, from, say, 1960 to, 2025. And in the span of 6,000 years, that's a blip on the radar. And God has been building this thing. He's been building his temple made without hands for 6,000 years. Everything that happened in the Old Testament writings and the Old Covenant and the stories and everything were absolutely essential and building blocks for what our new covenant relationship with the Lord now. It was all essential, and it's all a pattern for what happens in our individual experience as well. We all were born in innocency, in the pre-flood, type, and then sin entered into our life. We become aware of it, become the guiding force in our life. And at some point, we came to grips with the requirement of the law in some form or another in our life, the retribution, or is there a heaven or a hell? If there's a hell, that's definitely retribution, et cetera, and all these things until we found Christ and grace and repentance and into a new life. And this the Lord is building this thing, just like he said in Debbie's presentation there, from the Lord. He's been doing this for a long time, and we have a part in that plan, though it may be a small part. We have a part, we do best by simply, in a sense, leaving the big stuff up to the Lord and just learning how to obey what he's telling us or what he says to us. So one of the things I was looking up, and that is, there's the kind of a concept that I learned in Matthew, and it's kind of described in Matthew 24. And I just wanted to read a couple things. Am I in the right spot? Wrong. In this little section of the gospel here, in verse starting in verse 36, is no one knows that hour and day. But of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. And at this point in the game, and even a little bit, I shouldn't say that in the game, but in the plan. And even when Jesus, after he was resurrected and was taken up, and the disciples asked him, when will these things happen? And he again reiterated the fact that this is knowledge that only the Father knows, and that not even Jesus himself knew it. Now, like everyone else, he can see the signs of the times, and we can see the signs of the times. But the interesting thing that I learned through this group of scriptures, well, I'll just read it. And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So he's given us a little picture of, as in the days, so we can kind of do some comparisons and whatever. For in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And I'm going to skip and go down because I just wanted to. So he says in verse 42, he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not on what day your Lord cometh. But know this, that if the master of the house had known and watched the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And then the next verse is the one that kind of hit me. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in due season. And that, whether it's, in other words, who's the wise one? Who's the faithful one? Who's the one that God is commending here? As a, is it the one that went to school and got all the knowledge and understands all the dotted I's and T's and crossed this and that and everything, and I have a massive amount of I've library up to the ceiling and I know everything and this and that, and what I don't know, you know, I'm seeking it out, etc. It doesn't really say that. He said, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. What is he finding them so doing? He's finding them watching, paying attention, being aware, being, you know, their eyes are focused upon the Lord. At the time I was, I guess, pondering these or praying about these thoughts, etc. It's been a while ago, but I remember him giving me the example. You know, when you order something, it's when you used to order something, and they, and whether it's over the phone or in the catalog, you know, I'm speaking, you know, a long, long time ago. You used to order it, and they would say, oh, it could be 2 or 3 weeks. Well, once you said, you know, okay, send it, then you became somewhat watchful. And as you got closer to that day, you maybe got to the point where you maybe every morning you got up there and opened up the shades to the front street to see if you could see what was happening. You if you know, maybe somebody was the delivery truck coming down the road where you were watching. You didn't know when it was coming, but you knew it was coming. And then you got a phone call and said, your package is going to be delivered Wednesday. All right, well, that's another clue. So Wednesday morning, I got up and I got the shades open. I'm looking, and every time I hear the sound of a car or something going by, I get up and look out the window and look and see. I'm watching for it. You know, I know what's happening. You know, I'm paying attention. Now, I don't know what time. I don't know if he's come in at 2 o'clock. 4 o'clock. I don't know that, but I know he's coming today, and so I'm watch out there watching. So we don't know the time, you know, or the hour that it's coming, but Jesus commended us, commends all those that obey him and simply watch, be alert, alert, and watch. And so if you, it's interesting, if you go back to the example of Noah, which he told us about, excuse me, if you read that over, you're probably going to recognize that God came to Noah and he said, I want you to build a boat. You know, obviously he was out there in the middle of the desert. He said, build a boat. And I'm obviously paraphrasing here. But and so Noah started building the boat. But he didn't know exactly when. I think God said, you know, I'm going to, you know, flood the world or do whatever. I don't, so, and it would be the end of mankind, build a boat. Well, he didn't know, have the whole plan. He's simply obeyed God and started doing. Now, what would have happened if, you know, the Lord came back 6 months later or a year later and Noah had his feet propped up on the couch, spinning the candles or something like that? I suspect the Lord would have stirred his pot a little bit there. But he didn't. He started working, he started building. And lo and behold, there was a time when he came later on and he said, in 6 days, I'm going to flood the place. So there was a point in time when Noah knew when it was going to happen specifically. And I believe that there is a point in time when we are going to know when it is going to happen as well, because the Lord will know and he will get the information to those that are watching. But anyway, so I just want to toss that out. But there is another little thing related to what Debbie was saying there, and that is, when these doubts or questions arise, I know that there's the normal process is we cast them down and keep on moving. But I think I would like to encourage us to that when those things arise, in the process of casting them down is, get in the habit of thanking the Lord that they rose up, and ask him why and what he would like us to do about them. Why did those, it could have been a spurious, spirit throwing something in there. But it can also be thinking or thoughts or things that we are maybe thinking that we're not aware of. Don't I would encourage you not to feel guilty, I guess, that these things come up or whatever, but to inquire of the Lord and ask him to shed light on it and lead us into a fuller truth that if there's something in there, and let me just if there's something in there, there's the possibility that the Lord wants to correct some thinking or correct some thoughts or give us a different perspective about something that we're thinking about. And lo and behold, he's going to use any source or any avenue that he needs to get to your heart and my heart. Whether it be a leader or an employer or whatever resource that needs to happen. And he'll, we are all clay in his hands, and he will use anybody, the good or the bad, to do to create a cleansing or a purification process within us. And I believe we can trust him to do so. I was, he uses vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor as just as easily. Sometimes the vessels of dishonor, shall we say, are maybe easier used because there's no form of, well, I'll just put it there's no form of resistance or will power related to something. It's more of ignorance that and sometimes it's easier for him to use because he knows what the reaction or the response is going to be. So, I am very encouraged in what the Lord is doing in my life in these processes, and just know that the shaking that happens. I know sometimes we think things are going to happen and they don't happen, and we question the Lord, and we, but he has it, just as Debbie was saying in that message, he has it all under control, and it's all under control for a purpose, that he is building that temple without hands in us. So anyway, I can't remember the other thing I was going to say, so I'll just shut up. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Judy's got a song she'd like to sing. Or play, one or the other.
Can I borrow your Mr. Microphone?
Okay, just a second. Let me
Could you
get you
share a
ready to
screen?
go
Thank
here.
you.
Okay.
Did you give me share permission? I don't know what happened.
Into the atmosphere, Spirit of God, you're here. You have all authority. I pray over my heart and mind. I am healed by your stripes. Your blood declares that I am free. In the mighty name of Jesus. Calling on the power of heaven, I proclaim every weapon formed against me, it must break in the mighty name of Jesus. I draw a permanent boundary line. The enemy has no rights to come.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else? I think I mentioned a while ago that the deep state is losing the battle big time. And they're desperate to hang on to what they got. And you just got to be praying against any nefarious things that they might want to do to get people's attention off of prosperity for this country. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we do. We just lift up Trump to you. We thank you, Father, for giving him wisdom, discernment, and boldness to do the things that you want him to do. We know you are orchestrating his very moves, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that with your help, the deep state is coming down. And Lord, it's just a treat to watch the enemy being handled in committee hearings and things like that, that they are being made to look like clowns. And it's just awesome to watch, Lord. You've put stupid all over them. And it really shows too. And Lord, it's just a treat to watch. We David and I laugh over some of those things that they say. And Father, we thank you for that, for bringing down the deep state in a way that people will shun them, leave them, and come into a better understanding of what the Constitution provides for the people of this country and not what they've been saying it is. And we thank you for it, Father. By the way, the Democrats never call it a democratic republic. They always call it a democracy. It's not a democracy. There's a pure difference, a significant difference between democracy and a democratic republic. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just on a side note there, you do have people who are immigrants and have been immigrants for a while, and they still might not know the Constitution. The average American doesn't know, and that's a confusion in itself, even with the young and stuff, the way they were manipulated in not thinking that way. I don't know the American Constitution,
Well, the reason that they don't know, Andrew, is because they quit teaching it in the schools. When we were going to school, they taught it.
Yeah,
Matter of
that's
fact,
true
we had.
too. So, you can't really hold it against some of these young people either, because they don't know what they're doing on how to be legal, And it's right up to the old age people too now. So they're believing their own stuff now. So I just wanted to throw that in. People come to Canada, they don't know what transpired in Canada, And anyway.
But do y'all have a constitutional government?
I've been living in Canada all my life, and all I know is some of the stuff that they've done. The government came to my high school. I told you that story a long time ago, and they wanted to have us accept something, and it just wasn't right, right at all, So it's an attack on. It's robbery with iniquity, okay? And that's what they do to people. And the governments are supposed to do in accordance to the first seven verses of Romans. And That was for the Pontius Pilate's, the Caesars, and Paul's day. So what about our day? And also there's the Peter agrees with him in 1 Peter chapter 2 at the end of chapter 2 on how governments are supposed to. But you know, the governments we have been sort of exposed, I would say, to the Word of God for at least 500 years for most of them. We're all from an, and you know, even if the people came from Africa, they had an exposure to God's word too for quite a long time in all the continents. You know, so the indigenous peoples of Canada and America, the Aboriginal peoples have been exposed to the word of God for 500 years. So, and they even have a change of language, you know. That's all I'm saying, you know, like it's been out there, you know, and the Lord is the one who publishes it and puts it all over the world, but he needs us to do that too, you know. So but it's the publishing it out upon the hearts of flesh by the Spirit of God is where it has to be. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Yeah, I posted that link in the chat there. It's a gentleman that's explaining the various forms of government. Yeah, I think he starts out with seven, and then that collapses down to four basic forms of government. But it's a short video, 10 or 12 minutes long, but it is it's very well put together, and it just explains the various difference between socialism and free market capitalism or whatever, you know, and totalitarianism, and how that all comes together. It's very good. So I posted it in there. If you copy the link and watch it sometimes, I think you'll enjoy it. It helps to put kind of perspective when we hear the left and the right, and then we look at he describes how the right they always say that the right is like fascist or controlling or whatever, and the left is, you know, more in freedom. But when you watch that, video, it'll explain exactly what the reality is. So it's pretty good. So I just thought I'd share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, in the U.S. government here, for you Canadians, you too, Canadian, what was I going to say? Well, forget it. I don't guess the Lord wanted me to explain that. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I've been perusing history. After the Second World War, the Americans came up with this thing called the Marshall Plan. And it was to combat communism because of poverty in Europe. France could have become communist at one point in time. And of course, the Marshall Plan was to uplift the economies of West Germany and all the other war-torn countries. And of course, Stalin came against it. But, you know, I'm just kind of wondering, maybe this Marshall Plan got to be some sort of attitude of the Americans, and that's why they got ripped off and all these bad plans that they made with their allies, because they wanted to be nice to them. And maybe it just got away with itself, this Marshall Plan, and they made bad It could have been that way, that they were making just bad negotiations, and it, of course, it led to something more sinister. But to take advantage of an ally, you go, well, why did they give us this plan in the first place? You know, that's what some people think. You know, And is it because it's not a martial law, it's a martial plan, you know, but you could be thinking that way, and you could be thinking that way also because of the generosity that a Christian is supposed to have too, you know. If you want to do a Marshall Plan, you got to do it with all the African nations now, not with the European ones, you know. And and even the Europeans that used to have those colonies in Africa should be kind of helping them too, according to, I think, the way God would want it, if you're going to call yourself a Christian anyway. But, you know, economy has its way of not being right, you know. And it's written all over there in Revelation 18. But you know, to be fair, you know, the shepherd of Hermas, he was involved in commerce too, you know. So so was Zacchaeus, you know. Zacchaeus was a rich man, but he had to be that tax collector that nobody liked, but he gave a good testimony on how he handled his money, you know. Anyway, so praise God.
Amen. Yeah, that's right, Pat. Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. Well, you see how far we've fallen. Didn't take long, did it? That Marshall Plan and plans just like it opened up a door for the crooked politicians to get kickbacks. Although it helped a lot of people. It helped a lot of people. Anytime you send a lot of money to another country, some of it makes it way back to the crooked politician. Yeah, Satanism. That's pervasive in the world today, believe it or not. In the left, it's very pervasive. Pedophilia is another one. Anybody here, Democrat, raise your hand. Don't you dare. Oh, my. I'm just kidding. Oh, there's a Democrat. Go ahead.
I'm not raising my hand for that. Just everything that you said, like the Satanism, the pedophilia, and all that stuff, and the is anything but moral and religious people that have been running the government for decades. So, you know, what we've been learning.
Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I'm just not an American, and as an outside observer, you're almost having a one-party system now.
That would be great if we could outlaw the Democrats.
But then again, you've had better Democrats in the past.
Absolutely. It's a different
Democrat. You know, different so party now. Yeah, I'm just getting to this point that usually a one-party system is kind of like what they have over there in Russia. You know what I'm saying? I'm just making an observation. That's all I'm making. I'm not accusing anything of anyone. Okay.
Amen. Well, I agree with you. I don't believe in a two-party system. I think that's garbage. I think you need to vote for the man. Forget the party. Go ahead, Pat.
I know that... So when we say, loosely say Democrats, I think that you have to realize, in one sense, that the Democratic Party over here has gone and left, the leadership has been hijacked, and the what these radical leaders that are and again, when I say hijacked, I mean hijacked, because the whole thing about, kickbacks and, basically paying for people, financing people through laundering money, and this whole thing, that whole process, and getting people elected. There's been an evil leadership that has taken away the basic fundamental principle. They've taken that party and they've run with it and taken it a place where I would say the majority of the people in the Democratic Party do not agree with, but they're afraid to stand up to the system, so to speak. And obviously there's a lot of deception on both sides, but I'm under the impression that in our particular political system, there has to be there has to be a healthy Democratic Party to balance the Republican Party. It's just the two perspectives. And I go right back to a family. When a family, when you're starting to have kids and raise kids, you are running basically a socialist operation, so to speak. You're the father, the husband. You're basically bring, again, generally speaking, I'm saying this, let's say two, three generations before, the father would be bringing in the money, the finances, supporting the family, and then the children would be partake, they'd be on the socialist dole, if you would. Everything is free. They're taking, receiving everything, and you expect it that way. It's the way it starts, and kind of that socialist mentality. But then you train them to become responsible, pick up the ball, and learn to do their own thing, and educate them, train them, and then they go out and have a family. And so the process of that family starts out, kind of with a socialist bend, and ends in a capitalistic type bend, where you're, financing the family and the future and everything else. So likewise, the same thing, we that needs to happen in our government, where we have people that I think naturally think in that, I'm going to say, looking to benefit, give out the benefits to those that are in need and whatever. And the Republican or conservative side is that, yes, we'll feed them here for a while until we can teach them to fish. And then once they learn to fish, then they become contributors to the system, so to speak. Well, that whole process hasn't happened, because the politicians in play now, they only get into a position, get elected, if they are able to convince their supporters that the other side are enemies to the cause, And so now you have two enemies that are fighting against each other, as opposed to coming together and for the benefit of the people. So anyway, that's just kind of in my overview of the
Amen. Go ahead. What's your name, Missy?
I have a question, and it may be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I might have told this story before. It just made me think of a story when I was in ninth grade. We had civics. Anyway, I was horrible in history, social studies and stuff. So my question is, was there always the two parties, whether they were called Democrat or Republican, was there always a two-party thing from the very beginning?
Yeah, as far as I know, they used to be called the Whigs, and I forget
I
the
thought
other
that
one
was, yeah, I thought that was
at the beginning.
wigs. That's funny because they actually did wear the wigs anyway.
Yeah, well, they wore a funny hat
Yeah.
and wigs.
So then my thought is, aren't you setting yourself up to have problems when you have two parties? Because, and I mean, to me, that right away just says division, But anyway, but what came to my mind, I think I shared this before, I'm not positive, but when I was in ninth grade, and I don't know if it was this, because the first half they'd have one thing and the second half they'd have, oh, I think now I know what it was. It was Pennsylvania history they had in the first half or second half, whichever. The other half they had civics, which was study of how the government works, executive, judicial, and legislative, or whatever. Hey, I remembered some. Anyway, we had a quiz. We'd have a quiz once a week, whether it be 5 questions or 10 questions, and this one had to have been a 10-question one. And his name was Mr. Bingham, and he was in the Korean War. But anyway, he had this switch because he had the injury. But anyway, so we had this quiz, and my class, there was so many goof-offs. It was like next to special ed class. Should I say, learning disability. Anyway, so he before he handed back the quiz, he says, we got our first A this year. And I don't remember how far into the school year it was, but it was decent. We were decently into it, I'm sure. Anyway, and he announced that it was me, and I was like, I wanted to crawl under my desk because everybody was like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was like so embarrassed. I was like, why did you have to? I was thinking, why did you have to do this? And you believe me, I was just as surprised as anybody else, But anyway, that's my little funny of one thing that sticks out in my mind and that happened when I was in school. But anyway, because like I said, social studies, I think that and English. I'm not sure which was worse. Those were my two subjects. But anyway.
I had 6 or 8 subjects that were my worst ones.
My favorite was Jim. Anyway, now as far as like real classes, my favorite was math.
Yeah, I like math. I like math and English. As you can tell with my speech. What are you laughing at, Pat? Yeah, you would. I saw you laughing. Hey, by the way, the other day, David and I was talking to this guy over the salvage yard, and he we were talking. He said, "Where are you from?" He's looking at me. I said, "Arkansas." And of course, David, he had to pipe in. He said, "He's an Arkansanian." And that's not even the way you say it. He just picked that up and made it himself. And here I am. I'm Ark Insane. And the guy laughed. He said, okay. But anyway, thank you, Lord, for giving us a history lesson tonight. Yep, we got all the colors of the rainbow, pretty much. Yeah. Rainbow Coalition. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Registered political parties. Are you talking about in Canada? I mean, in South Africa, Joe?
Yeah, South Africa.
Good gracious. Golly. Well, I know we got the what they call them, we got the Democrats and the Republicans, but there's a couple of more too. I'll think of it here in a minute. Yeah, Missy.
Independent,
Well, that's
they call
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but there's
Oh,
another one.
libertarian.
Libertarians, yeah, that's the one I was looking for. I was sitting here saying liberal. No, it ain't. It's something different. It's the opposite of that. Libertarians.
I don't think they have an organized party, do they?
Yeah,
They do.
they do, but they're not very
Represented. Yeah.
yeah, they're not.
It's kind of like the Green Party was of the
Yeah.
early 2000s or whenever they came out.
Yeah. Well, Lord, thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in our country and in Canada to bring about whatever it takes to wake people up to your government. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Father, that the kingdom of God is going to be brought down here shortly. We're going to see a revival that has never been matched before. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that the signs and wonders are going to fall out. And those white horse riders are coming down. Glory be to God. And the bride is going to be doing this thing too. In Jesus' name, Father, we praise you and we thank you for this time we're coming into. And Lord, let it help us through your grace and your mercy be prepared for everything that you want us to do. And Lord, I ask and I pray that each and every one of us would draw close to you and have an intimate relationship with you every day. To set aside a couple of hours every day to be with you, Lord. And in my life, too. Thank you, Father. That a lot of times we get doing this, doing that, and getting doing this and doing that. And we kind of put you on the back burner sometimes. But Lord, just help us to put you on the front burner in Jesus' name, that you are more important than anything else that we can do. In Jesus' name. I have a thing up here that says, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. Fully surrendered. There's been few here and there, but fully surrendered is like Jesus. That's one that's fully surrendered. You don't do anything unless the Father tell you. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we thank you for getting everybody in bed good tonight safely. And I don't know what time it is over around Joe. But Father, we just ask for your blessings on everyone. And Lord, give us all new revelations, new visions, and to want to be with you at all times and listen for your voice everywhere we go. In Jesus' name. 4 a.m. Okay. All right. All right. Y'all be blessed. Yeah.